Bible, find Matthew chapter 9. If you're using the Pew Bible, you can find the passage that we'll be referring to on page 964. 964 in the Pew Bible, Matthew chapter 9. Before we go into our study in God's Word, why don't we go to God in prayer? I'll pray aloud if you'll join me in your hearts. Let's pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, Lord, we are grateful for this day that you have given us and for the gift of life and for life in Christ. And Lord, we are prayerful at this time that you would use all the elements of our experience here at this place in this church, Lord, the praise and the prayer and the fellowship and the teaching and all the other things, Lord, you're bringing into our midst. Lord, you would use these things to show us once again, Lord, who we are, and even more so, who you are and what you want to do in our lives and in this world. Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and soft hearts to receive the truth that you have for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. When we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, what that means when we say we're disciples is that we want to know Jesus. And when we say that, we want to know what he cares about, what he values, what he loves, what he's passionate about. We want to notice what he does and why he does it. And we want to give ourselves to those things. It's basically that simple. And the passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning really gives us a poignant picture of what is dear to the heart of Christ and what motivates him. So, if you have your Bibles, follow along as I read Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." So that Jesus went out and he told the people that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God was in their midst and it was available to them through a relationship with him. That it was now possible for each one of them to know God and know God's purpose for their lives and to join God and his unfolding purpose in the world. Good words. Words of hope. Words of healing. And then it says he had good words and good deeds. He went about healing people, meeting them at their points of need. That's powerful. But I love what follows, where that comes from, because then Matthew tells us that Jesus looked on the crowds and he looked on the crowds and he saw real people, real men and women and children with real needs and real hurts and real interests. And it says that when he saw them, he had compassion on them. The word comes from he felt it deep in his spirit, it says in his bowels. He felt it in his guts. He was moved from the inside out. When he saw these people, he just saw them and he loved them and he cared about them. Because he saw them in their state. He says that they're harassed and helpless. They're pulled in multiple directions and by the pull of their culture and their own desires and their selfishness. And he saw that and he cared about them. And he looked at his disciples, his people, and he said, "The harvest is plentiful. Look, look at all. Do you see all the people? Do you see them?" I think tucked into that is the idea that God has been bringing a harvest. He has been sowing seeds and a crop is out there. And God has been producing a harvest. But where are the people of God? Where are the people who can go out and connect people to God? You see, Jesus sees people who don't have a relationship with him as being disconnected from God and disconnected from God's purpose for their lives and God's purpose in the world. And he looks at these people as smart as they are and as nice as they are and as loyal as they are to their family and friends and as hardworking as they are. He sees them for what they truly are. They are sheep without a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are one of the most defenseless animals out there. They need to be provided for. They need someone to protect them, to guide them, to look over them, to care for them. He sees these people, and they are sheep without a shepherd. In the Gospels, Jesus spoke of lost sheep, and he made it clear when he spoke that language is that they were lost. And the reason that's important is that they were valuable to God. And he longed for them and to bring them back into the fold. And so Jesus says his mission is to go out to these people, to these sheep, and to point them back to God. And he says to his disciples, and you go, and you do this as well. You see, when we become a Christian, a follower of Christ, it means we sign up for Jesus' mission in the world. And the mission of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church is very simple. It's to introduce people to Jesus Christ and to help them to follow him. To make the introduction, to point people to Jesus, and then help people on that journey. How is that going to happen? How are we going to be a part of that mission? Well, I'd like to share something that we've touched on in past few years about living in 3D. And where that phrase living in 3D comes from, it comes from a book by Bill Hybels called Just Walk Across the Room. Many of you read that book. You were in studies and small groups and in classes. We really want to encourage you to either read the book again or pick one up. We have some available at the Welcome Center. $10 a piece. We're not making any money on them, but it's one of the reason we're really big on this book about influencing people, how to point people to faith, is that it's more of a way of living, a way of looking at relationships and people than a program. It's not like three quick steps or four steps or anything like that. And I want to share a little bit about living in 3D. But we're so committed to this is that we're going to offer a course, an academy course on Wednesday nights in October, four sessions on this. I really encourage you. I'll be leading that class, that course. But I think you'll find just some real helpful ways of thinking and looking at the world and people and some helps to you to be an influencer in people's lives to Christ. Let me explain real close, and I'll tease out the details as we go. The three D's. The first D is develop relationships with people. Develop relationships with people. The second D is discover their stories. And the third D is then discern next steps. Discern next steps. Let's take each one of those real quickly. Develop relationships. As we just said, when Jesus looked around, he saw real people. men and women that he cared about and longed to see get connected to the Father. And from all accounts, when we see Jesus interacting with people, he always seemed to genuinely care about people. He was interested in people. And we have to ask ourselves a question, is that when we move through our world, when we go about our daily business, do we really see people? Because you've never locked eyes with a person that God didn't feel and didn't say, I love that person. I love her. I love him. I want him. Say, do we see him? Do we care? Because if we come from that place of that, I'm going to notice the people that God has divinely put in my life, even in my pathway, if we start looking at life that way, then we'll start hearing the nudge, the leading, the prompting of the Spirit to say, why don't you go over and just say hi? Why don't you introduce yourself to them? Ask them their name and then use their name. You see, it's so easy to get into the habit that my life is all about my world and my schedule. And we go about doing a lot of good things, you know, but we run to work and then we dash to meetings and then we go shopping and we have to do errands and then we have to pick up the kids and we have to go here and there and all those things are good. But we can become so preoccupied, we can become so distracted, or we don't see people. People. You know, if we're going to reflect Christ and join him on his mission, we've got to make a habit of being available and being open and looking for ways just to naturally engage people, because God cares about people. And it's what's interesting, when we start to look at life and people that way, and then the doors will start to swing wide open to some amazing things that can happen. So engage people. Remember, the second D is to then discover stories. I love what Pastor Bo says. He says, there are no boring people. And the reason he says that is that because we all have a story. We're living out our grand story. We're the accumulation of so many stories. Things that have happened to us, things that we've done, things that we've hoped for, things that we've dreamed, things that we've messed up, all these things like that. And discovering people's stories requires conversations. More than conversations, it requires listening. Listening. I really think sometimes we come here and we hear all these good things and we go back out into our lives, into our worlds and our jobs, and we think people are, you know, anti-God or they're just not interested in things like that. I think that people really want to talk about important matters. I think that people want to talk about life and is there any meaning, and they want to talk about their concept or their idea of God or if God's not there, or they want to talk about their dreams or their hopes or their failures. They just haven't found anybody who wants to listen. They haven't found anybody who cares. You know, in this, you know, we've got to start counting conversations more than conversions. I mean, conversions are big, but they only get there when we talk about, I just want to keep talking and listening to people, and I want to hear. We got to encourage them to share their hopes and their dreams and what's important to them. You know, one of the most important things we can do is learn how to ask sincere, good questions to draw people out and to hear their hearts. You know, Jesus, when you look at him interacting in Scripture, Jesus, he was short on sermons and long on conversations. You know, Jesus was short on giving pithy little answers to people and long on asking really good, insightful questions about people and their heart and what they want and where they're going. You know, Jesus was short on, you know, propositions and long on stories that would capture people. And so when we do this, we want to become safe people for people to talk to, people that really listen and that aren't pushy and that make it okay for people to express their real thoughts and their doubts and their fears and their spiritual questions and that people, you know, can feel like they can process things and they have somebody with them that can process things. And the reason that we do this is that we have to believe, because God loves people, that God's already been working in these people's lives. He's been nudging them and wooing them and doing things and sending little messages. And when we hear their stories, we're more like spiritual detectives or spiritual guides who can say, I think God was at work here or there. It's like people are going through life and they're hearing a few notes of a beautiful melody. And they don't recognize, they don't know what it is. And the more we get to talk and go with them on this journey, they begin to hear the melody. And then we begin to put the lyrics to the song. You see, that's what it's about, to discover their stories and go on this process with people. It's like we're learning that maybe God was doing this in your life there. And not only that, but we'll get clues to maybe God's going to do this in the future. You know, if we genuinely care about people, we'll care about every part of their lives. We'll care about their families and their careers and their hobbies and their interests and their spiritual life. But it's all of that. So we engage people. We develop relationships. We start to discover their stories, to find where God has been at work. And then we discern the next steps on this journey. We are prayerful. We are thoughtful. We depend on the Holy Spirit as to how we can help them take the next step on this journey, how to be someone who can go with them and guide them on this journey. Discerning next steps is really just providing the right resources at the right time for people we're going on a journey with. You know, and that takes prayer and it takes knowing them. If you don't know this person, you don't know what they need to get to the next step. You know, maybe the person needs a good book on a particular topic that's you know, of interest to them, or maybe they need just a good CD that has some music that they can relate to. They need to be invited to something up their alley, like we're going to hear more about in our announcements at the end, but the Proof of Your Love concert we're going to have here in October. And that's going to be a night of just powerful, beautiful, professionally done music. A concert you can be proud to bring your friends to that are going to hear a positive message there. Or maybe what they really need is that they're on this journey and they're asking spiritual questions, and maybe they should be, you could say, hey, come to this Alpha class that we're offering. One's going to be offered on Thursday nights with the shoots, and I'm going to do one on Sunday mornings in October. It's a place where people can ask any question they want to and hear about what Christianity is all about and who Jesus is. There's so many things we just have to be sensitive to in people's lives. What do they need? Maybe they just need to be, you know, we need to just do more recreational things together. Whatever it is, we need to be sensitive. That I've shared with you before that there was a gal in one of my previous churches that really had a heart, she had a servant's heart, and it was displayed in all parts of her life, and at her place of employment, she would just do good to people, and people notice it, and people would pick up, and they'd say, you know, you're so nice. What, you know, why are you so nice? And how, you know, thank you for doing this. And she would explain then it was because of something Jesus had done in her life, and he's made the difference in her life. And, you know, when people would say, really, tell me, but, and she would explain a little bit about that, but she always felt a little inadequate, and she said, look, if you're really interested in this Christian life, you say, why don't you come to church with me? And my pastor, he knows a lot about this Christian life, and he really likes to talk a lot. And she would bring people that way and say, look, Joe's been doing this and talking and had a lot of great the right resources at the right time, doing something to help somebody move a little bit closer to Christ. We just have to believe that God loves people so much that he's at work in the world and in people's lives, and we are just partnering with the Holy Spirit who knows what these people need. And if we're humble enough to say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? We can help people to get connected with God. I want to finish by looking at a story that Jesus told. You'll find it in Luke chapter 15. As many of you might know, that Luke chapter 15 has Jesus tells three stories that kind of give a picture of the heart of God. You know, the story of the lost sheep, lost coin, and lost sons. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 1035. 1035, it's Luke chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. You follow along. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Now, you must understand, Jesus is not attacking the tax. You know, if you work for the IRS, Jesus is not saying you need to get another job. What happened in that culture was that the tax collectors were looked upon as traitors to their nation because they were serving the occupying oppressive force, the Gentiles and the Romans, and collecting taxes. And part of the deal when they collected taxes was that they had to collect the Romans' cut, and then anything else they could get, they could keep. So they were extorting the people. So not only were they traitors, but they were hurting their people. So they were not well-liked and looked as traitors to the nation. And sinners were just a term that the Pharisees looked at for people who they thought were just impure, unclean, and had no shot at a relationship with God. Okay? And so they're looking, they say, look, Jesus, not only do they come to him, but he goes to them. And this table fellowship is a big deal. This eating with them, who you hung out with, who you socialized with, really was a reflection of your character, they thought. And so that's why they're muttering. So then Jesus responds, he says, and he told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. I love that. He finds the lost sheep and he says, we're going home. We're going home, okay? And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, rejoice with me, party with me. I found my lost sheep. Then Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. What a beautiful story. The shepherd has, I'm not a sheep farmer, never have been, but a shepherd has a herd of 100 sheep. To me, that sounds like a lot of sheep, you know? And he notices out of 100 sheep, one is missing. He notices it. He knows. Where's that sheep? Okay? I was wondering when I was reading this is that what do I have 100 of? And what popped in my mind immediately was I know I have a couple hundred books, right? And if you were to sneak into my office and borrow one of my books, okay, I'd probably never notice. And the funny thing about that is books sit still. They don't move. And the sheep are moving and getting into things and wandering. But this shepherd notices one sheep that's missing, right? That's amazing to me. What also, too, in this story is like he's got 99, and those 99 are going to reproduce, you know. Wouldn't he be tempted to say, you know, I've got 99. What's one lost sheep? And you know what? We're going to have more sheep next spring anyway. They're going to reproduce. You know, well, let's, you know, what's one less sheep? Let's concentrate on the quality sheep or whatever. But Jesus isn't talking about sheep, is he? Is he? He's teaching about God, isn't he? And he's teaching about people, and the shepherd represents God, and the sheep represent people. And Jesus' point is that people really matter. They really matter to God. Matter of fact, just saying that, I'm captured by, that's an immense understatement to say that people really matter to God. Maybe a better way of expressing it would be to say this. God has only one treasure. God has only one treasure, and it's you. It's people. That's his one treasure. Now, I have to contrast that with myself. There are so many things that can capture my heart. There are so many things that I can begin to place high value on, and so many things that I can think that's just going to make my life better or make my life complete, even mundane. You know what? If I get up and there's coffee brewing, the smell of fresh coffee, and if there's coffee brewing and I can smell Denise cooking bacon, man, that would mean it's a Saturday for one thing, because that doesn't happen. And I could have some eggs with an English muffin and some bacon. It's like, I'm like, it's going to be a good day, right? Man, that's that. Isn't that funny? I make my day. Or if I'm driving to work and, you know, the traffic is flowing well and the lights are turning green and the other drivers are driving in a way that I approve of. Man, you know, it's like my heart is filled with joy and it's kind of like, hallelujah. Or if I'm flipping on the, you know, watching TV and I'm flipping between the Orioles game and the Phillies game and they both win, you know, all is right with the world. Okay? So many things, so many little things that sneak into my heart. But you know what? God's not like me. God doesn't care for coffee in the morning, even if there's bacon with it. God doesn't fret or delight over the traffic report. You know, God doesn't, believe it or not to some of you, God doesn't have a favorite team, which would probably be your team if you're thinking. But God doesn't have any hobbies. He doesn't have any investments in the stock market that he's, you know, he tracks. God has only one treasure, and it's people. It's you. Not long ago, I had the opportunity to go back to a neighborhood that my family lived in. Denise and I went, and the kids were really little back then, and drove by the house that we lived in, and just kind of sat there in the street and looked around, and you know, a lot of memories. And I remembered a beautiful, sunny, quiet Sunday afternoon at that house. Denise and Rachel, I think Andrew and Rachel were probably 5 and 6 at the time. And Denise and Rachel had gone out to run an errand, so Andrew and I were at home. And like I said, it was a quiet afternoon, but it was a little too quiet, okay? And so I'm thinking, I wonder what Andrew's up to. You know how it is like that. It's like, it's not that the kids are making too much noise sometimes, it's when there's no noise, right? So I look through the house, go to his room, he's not there. You know, go out to the family room, not there. Look through the house, not there. Go to the basement, no Andrew. Well, Andrew likes, you know, at that stage in his life, he liked to go out and just explore like little boys do. I mean, he was in search of dinosaur bones, and he would look for buried treasure, and that kind of thing out in the backyard. So I look out on the front porch, not there. Look out in the backyard, not there. I call for him, no answer. Now I'm starting to get a little concerned. Where is this little boy? So I go to the backyard, and right behind our backyard where there were some woods, and he would go in there sometimes. He didn't go far, he'd go in there. And I went down into the woods, and I'm calling his name, looking around, no Andrew. I go through the woods into this clearing to this neighbor who lived far behind us, and there's this open clearing. No Andrew. I look to the right. The clearing led to another woods. Look to the left. The clearing went down, went over and then down to a highway. I'm thinking, I hope that little boy did not go down to... So I'm starting to move quicker. Well, I'm running at this point, okay? And I'm calling, and I run down to the other, that clearing to the highway. No Andrew. I come back, go the other direction, I go into the other woods. Now I'm getting farther and farther away from the house. I'm calling his name and going through these woods and popped out into another clearing I didn't even know existed. And I'm thinking, do I go back this way or do I circle up to the house? And so I decided to say, I'm going to go back up this way and you know maybe I can get to him or cut him off if he's out here. I had no idea where he was. Okay, I'm looking for him. Parents, you know this. My heart is racing. My eyes are darting all over. I'm calling his name. No Andrew. When I finally got close to the house, I looked in my next door neighbor's yard, and he came out of those woods over there, and I saw him. And I saw him. And I wasn't mad at him. You know, I was relieved. I was so happy to see him. You know, there he was. And this is the point of Jesus' story. That people are God's only treasure. And it doesn't matter why they wandered off. It doesn't matter where they wandered off. It doesn't matter what they've done. What matters is that God loves them and He wants them found. He wants them found. And they need to be with Him. That's how He feels. If you're a parent, have you ever lost a child? I mean, out in public somewhere, at the beach or at the mall or at a park or somewhere like that, even if just for a few moments. And, you know, and has your heart ever pounded like that? And has your throat ever clenched up? And, you know, and has your mind ever raced? Have you ever had that moment in your mind where you knew beyond a shadow of doubt you would do anything to get them back? That you would be willing to die just to get them safe? God knows that feeling. And Jesus came and He died so that we could be with Him. God loves you that much. You see, the most important thing that we can share with people is that love of God for them, that God loves them that much. And it doesn't matter. And if you're here this morning and you've never connected to Jesus Christ, never said yes to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something, that God loves you. And it doesn't matter why you've wandered off or where you've wandered or what you've done. God still has only one treasure, and that's you. It's you. You know, if you find yourself away from God, maybe you got away from God deliberately and defiantly, or maybe you just drifted and you don't even know how you got this far. The best decision that you can ever make, you can make it right here, is to let yourself be found. It's like, Jesus, I want you. Here I am. And He will forgive you all your failures, your sins, and He'll throw a party in heaven, and He'll bring you into His family. That's what God is all about. Now, if you've already been found, the best thing you can do is help people get connected to the Good Shepherd, to the Father. So, what do you say? Let's go to them. Let's just tell them how much God loves them. Let's love them and get involved in their lives. And let's go on this journey with the Holy Spirit together. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask you to give us soft hearts for the people you've placed in our lives, casual acquaintances and dear friends. Lord, help us to see how we can serve them and get to know them better and have fun with them and love them. And Lord, where we can see where you've been at work all along in their lives, and help us to discern next steps. Lord, may we be both gentle and wise. And Lord, may they know Christ. We pray it in His name. Amen.